Good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome. It's great to see you, and everybody is really, really welcome to our Connect service. It's the first Connect service of the new term, and hopefully on your way in this morning, you'll have seen some of the notices that are on the screen. A lot of our parish activities are resuming in the coming week, and today our Sunday school is resuming. And on tomorrow, our toddler group is resuming, the BB is resuming tomorrow. And then on Tuesday, the Craig of Crafters are continuing to have coffee for one more week, I think. And then there's going to be pickleball and anchor boys on Tuesday. On Wednesday morning, our service of Holy Communion with prayers for those who are sick. And on Wednesday afternoon, the ladies' friendship group are meeting for the first time in the new term, and they're going to have the opportunity to meet Ryan, our new curate, and he's going to say a little bit about his life to the ladies' friendship group. And then there will be Pilates, I think, on Wednesday evening. So an opportunity to do that on Wednesday. And Thursday, our parish prayers take place over Zoom. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion 9 o'clock, Holy Communion 11, and the service of Compline at 7. Over the last year, you'll have remembered that we explored a theme over the whole course of our Connect services. We were looking at people who had encountered Jesus, who had met Jesus, and how that impacted their lives. This year at our Connect services, we hope to be exploring some core principles that are really important to us as a church. And so we're going to be looking at a number of ideas over the next number of months. We're going to be looking at topics like worship, prayer, fellowship, love, spiritual formation, our work with families and children and young people. All those things are really, really important to us as a church. We're going to look at care for creation. We're going to look at mission. And today in our service, what we hope to look at together is the whole idea of hospitality. And hospitality is a theme that really is behind this weekend that we've just enjoyed with the Family Fun Day, which took place yesterday. And I want to say a huge word of thanks to everyone who worked so hard to make that day such a great success. It was lovely to be able to open the gates, to open the doors, and to welcome a whole lot of visitors, perhaps across the threshold for the first time. And everybody had such a really positive experience. And thank you so much to everyone who made that happen over the last number of weeks and months of preparation. And I want to thank particularly Heather, who was coordinating overall with Linda. And there was a huge effort involved. And thank you to everybody who made it such a great success. So today, we're delighted to have a speaker for our first Connect service, and a little later in the service, Mike Donald is going to come and share with us. And Mike, it's great to have you with us. Mike has been here before to speak last year as part of the Mind Matters program, but today he's going to be sharing a little bit more about that idea of hospitality and looking outside our doors as we think about doing an Alpha course in the autumn. And I'm going to at this point invite Ryan to come and say a word about that.
Yeah, so Jono just mentioned an Alpha course, and I'm really excited that we get to run one here in person starting on the 17th. You'll notice when you came in this morning that you had a few copies of this on your chair, and you're like, why are there three of these on each chair? Well, the reason is because on the one side it says, are you curious? And most people are curious about all things. And for us to run an Alpha, to think about faith and life and value and importance, is a way of us extending hospitality to our community. But on the other side it says, guess what? You're invited and we want you to come. And so you're going to hear a bit more about Alpha this morning as Mike gives a bit of his story and talks about the influence of Alpha in his life and deciding to follow Jesus. But a charge for us as a community, as we saw yesterday, there's a lot of folks, a lot of new faces who live just outside our doorstep. And so I need you to take those three invitations on your chair, and I need you to give them to somebody that you know. Somebody at work, maybe an next door neighbor, maybe a friend that you see at the coffee shop. It doesn't matter. Statistics tell us that people will come if they're invited. So get excited about our Alpha course and maybe come along, invite somebody to come with you and be a part. So those are there. I have a lot of them. And so when you get rid of your three, come get some more and invite more people. All right.
On one more practical note, on the terms of hospitality, we had loads of people who did some fantastic baking for yesterday, and there are a lot of tins that need to be collected. So they're on a table outside the door. Don't forget to collect if you baked and you brought them in tins. Do collect your tins on the way out. But we're going to just take this opportunity now to still our hearts, to focus, and we're going to pray as we just anticipate coming into God's presence and just asking him to be with us in our worship. And we're going to share the prayer together, which you'll see on the screen, to open our hearts and lives to God. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. So let's stand together as we sing our opening song, Wake, Wake Up. Please take your seats. We're going to take the opportunity now at this point in our service to remember those times when maybe we haven't been the people that God would want us to be. And so in our hearts, we take a moment just to bring to mind those things that we look for his healing and his help as we say sorry to him. And we seek his pardon and peace. Let's pray together. God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another.
We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you've commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and with one another.
Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in response to God's forgiveness, we are going to celebrate that in our next song, His Mercy is More. So if you'd like to take your seats, I'm going to invite Alison, who is going to bring our Bible reading this morning.
A reading from Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see above the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree so that he could see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
During the singing of our next song, the children are going to be leaving us for Sunday school, and I'm just going to pray for them as they begin a new term. Lord, we thank you for all the children in our church. We thank you for our Sunday school and for all our Sunday school teachers. And we pray that you would bless this year ahead, help them to have fun together, and help them to come to know you more. And so we ask your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together Across the Lands. And let's stay standing as we affirm our faith together in the words of the creed, which we're going to see on the screen. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe.
We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son,
and Holy Spirit. Amen. And before Mike comes to share with us, we're going to sing the song, The Battle and the Blessing.
Did not bear the wounds that freed us, or walk the road to Calvary. We did not share your cup of suffering, and yet we share your did not wear that heavy burden, face the shame and agony. A crown of thorns was placed upon you. Now we are crowned with love and peace. Praise the Lord, my
Hello, everybody. How's it going? I'm just going to share a wee bit of scripture before I give my testimony, or some of it. Jesus tells us in John 4, 13 and 14, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water I will give them will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is telling us here, no matter what we do, we can't do it without him. My testimony begins with a series of words, and I didn't hear these words until I attended my first Alpha course. And that's hollow, lost, broken, empty, unsatisfied, unfulfilled, constantly searching for fulfillment anywhere and everywhere other than in the Lord. Now, again, everybody heard of the Alpha course? Has anyone been to the Alpha course? Anyone hasn't been? Go to the Alpha course. Bring a friend. So I never heard those words. Like my life before the Lord came into it, chaos would be an understatement. I noticed these chaotic feelings even in primary school, in P1, where I couldn't sit at peace. The teacher was at the front trying to teach the other 29 children in the class, and I was sitting at the table. Where am I going? What am I doing? What can I get up to? Throwing this, poking that person, whatever I could do to get attention or to be a distraction, because nothing held my attention. Nothing truly satisfied that search for what am I doing next. So to even know those feelings in P1, you know, I knew something wasn't connecting the dots, something wasn't right. So my entire primary school years were like that. To be fair, I thought I was well behaved in primary school, because when they opened those doors at 3 o'clock, I was gone and I was running around. I'm originally from Tullycarnet. I was the Tasmanian devil running around Tullycarnet estate, lighting, spinning, absolute trail of devastation and chaos in my wake. Fireworks up letterboxes, fireworks up people's car exhausts, pinging windows, lighting fires, you name it. I was doing it. And that was truly because I didn't know what to do with myself. I was just constantly like this bundle of energy that just had no guidance. It had no direction. It was just, where am I going? What am I getting up to? What am I doing next? So primary school years, very, very, very little education, very low level of education, if there was any there at all. My first experience with taking drugs was at the age of 11. That was prior to going into high school. My first experiences in self-harm were at the age of 8. Even saying that, it gives you a fair idea of the chaos that was going on in here. Because the only way that I could swap the pain and the self-torture and the self-torment was to harm myself physically, externally. Which was why the self-harm started. And then the first experience in taking drugs, there was a group of us. It was the summer of going into high school, and we were sniffing aerosols. Again, I'm not going into how you do any of that stuff. Don't try it, by the way, just in case. But I remember the sensation of inhaling the aerosol, and for a minute, I wasn't me. Don't know what I was doing. Was probably trying to ice skate uphill, you know, but I wasn't me. It had calmed the storm that had gone on inside my head. So that was the summer of going into high school, that was the first experience of drugs. So you can only imagine what my high school years were like, because sniffing aerosols led to smoking dope. Smoking dope led to taking ecstasy tablets. Through to school by the start of fourth year, or at some point in fourth year. I don't know if it was the start, middle, or the end. So I was through out of school in fourth year, through out of school with not a qualification to my name, no exams, you name it. If I wasn't put out of class, I was suspended and then eventually expelled. But what kind of people were you when you're taking drugs before you go into school? You know, I was climbing out windows, I was just doing whatever I wanted. And if I wasn't on the beak, again, I was put out of class, suspended, eventually expelled. So once I was expelled, that was it. You know, I was taking a lot of drugs beforehand. I took even more drugs. I got to the point in my life where I was taking 10 ecstasy tablets at once. Just to, and I don't know if that sounds like a lot to you, but my friends were taking ones and twos and threes. It'll give you a fair idea of the level of drugs that I was taking, even for around my friends that were taking them with me. But then, you know, the mental, what comes along with the drugs that are all uppers is the downers. The mental health side of things just took a toll. When your brain is wired up for chaos, for self-harm, for self-torture, for pain, that's what I searched for. You know, it was more drugs to hide from the pain, and then when the drugs wore off, the pain was magnified by 20. It was horrible. It was just, the best way I could describe my thought pattern was as a washing machine at full spin. Where are you going? What are you getting up to? Why are you living like this? Why are you doing like this? You know, it was just constant. It just didn't stop. And the only way to stop it was to take drugs. And the only way to relieve the pressure after the taking drugs was to self-harm. So this led me being sectioned in Knockbracken. And all this was before the age of 21. After the age of 21, I then learned that the way I was living, obviously, the self-harm, the suicide attempt, all that sort of stuff wasn't the answer. So I learned to hide it. I call it hiding in plain sight. I started getting tattoos. I've got a couple of tattoos, if you might have noticed. But you might not have noticed. Put your glasses on if you didn't. I started hiding in plain sight. Started getting tattoos. Tattoos to cover the self-harm scars. And also tattoos then started taking a representation of scar tissue because I wouldn't self-harm over the tattoos. I then started training in the gym. And I learned that I could physically destroy myself in the gym, physically self-harm without the ramifications of needing stitches, without the ramifications of having scar tissue. Then without having to explain to people, you know, why are you covered in slices and, you know, and stitches and all that sort of stuff. So you can see what my life would have been like right up until the age of 38. It was very, very chaotic. A lot of family breakups, a lot of relationship breakdown, it was a lot of me at the time self-serving, self-medicating. And then one day, and all I knew was pain. That was all I knew. If I knew any form of emotion, it had long since died, because all I was searching for was pain, how to cause pain, internal, external, whatever it was that I could find it. Then one day, of three children, Sophie at 14 now, Amber's nearly 9, and Ezra's 6. So one day, my 5-year-old daughter at the time, Amber, turned around to me and says, "Daddy, will you take me to church?" And I either had a mouthful of food or a mouthful of water, but I nearly choked. I had to swallow it and go, "What?" At that time, I was known as the Ballybean Viking because I had a big, long beard. I had a mohawk. It was all braided. And the closest thing to a Viking you'll see running around Ballybean anyway. And I said, "Darling, I'm a Viking. The Christians don't like Vikings. Ask your mummy, she'll take you." "No, Daddy, it has to be you. Ask your granny Pat, she's your favourite, she'll take you." She says, "No, Daddy, it has to be you." I always choke up at this bit. "Ask your Uncle Stu, he'll take you." "No, Daddy, it has to be you." So I went, right, okay, well, I ran out of substitutes. And the Lord knew, regardless of all my faults and my issues, that I would have done anything for my children, eventually. So off we went, marching around to St. Mary's Church. And I had this picture in my mind that I was just going to reach my hand out onto the front doors and open it and literally disintegrate in the dust and just be blown away. Well, that didn't happen. I walked into St. Mary's Church and the first thing I noticed, and I rolled my eyes, everybody was happy. It was like everybody was smiling. They had this odd sort of glow about them that I'd noticed, and it was like, oh, here we go. A lady got up out of her seat to greet me, and I put my hand out and said, "No, I'm going to sit up the back. I'm here for her." I pointed down at my daughter. I then attended St. Mary's. I was sitting there for quite a while. I had calculated the hours that I'd wasted sitting up at the back of St. Mary's Church, because I was sitting there and I was like, right, I'm going to do something constructive. I'm going to calculate the hours that I've wasted sitting here. So I got my phone out, got my calculator out, added the time of the service, added the time for the coffee, And I looked at my phone and I went, 14 and a half hours. I've wasted 14 and a half hours sitting at the back of this church, listening to him at the front, talking about whatever he was talking about. And then I heard from the front, and salvation is for everybody. And then I heard, he's talking about you. And I literally looked up and went, was he talking to me there? No, he wasn't talking to me, as I said to myself. Then off the back of that, Jim had invited me to an Alpha course. It's Jim Chester, he's the minister of St. Mary's. He invited me to an Alpha course, and I did this. Happy days. I've now got to find a reason to get thrown out of church. So I thought of the worst questions that you could ask a Christian, the most unanswerable questions that you could ever ask, and I was marching around to St. Mary's. I went marching around to St. Mary's. My plan was, what about this, what about this, what about this, what about this, what about this? Mic drop and leave for them to go, this isn't for you, it's time to go. But that didn't happen. They played the intro to Alpha. 5 minutes into the intro of Alpha, I heard the words that I'd felt my entire life, but didn't know them in this order till I heard it. Was hollow, lost, broken, empty, unsatisfied, unfulfilled, constantly searching for fulfillment anywhere and everywhere other than in the Lord. And I heard, they're talking about you, and I answered, and I said, they are talking about me. And then something changed. I was like, well, maybe there's something into this. So 6 weeks later, it was about reading the Bible. And I went, obviously due to my level of education and being thrown to school and having zero attention span for school, I could barely read. I could barely write. I couldn't spell anything. You know, I could see the word, but I wouldn't be able to spell it if you would ask me to spell something. So that was my excuse for not being able to read the Bible. Of course, somebody very kindly in St. Mary's I originally said the words are too small. So somebody very kindly got me a double XL large print Bible. I use her laughing. It is literally this thick by this. And I caught it with me everywhere. So so I ran out of excuses. So week six was on reading the Bible, and I was like, right, okay, well, I have no time to read the Bible. And then I realized I played Angry Birds for an hour every single morning before the house woke up, had my coffee, played Angry Birds on my phone. I was like, well, maybe I could give the Bible a go. So I opened the Bible. I went, well, where do you start? Joshua 7. Well, I can't start at Joshua 7, so I turned the Joshua 1. I read Joshua 1. Joshua 1:9, serve the Lord and only be strong and courageous. So in that moment, as I had finished reading Joshua, the Lord had shown me a picture. The picture that he had shown me was a broad, wide road, as far as you could see, and cars parked bumper to bumper, the whole way up one side and the whole way up the other side. And I was driving on this road, but my driving was this way. And the only calm in my life was hurtling towards the next car crash. And as I hit this car, it deflected me to the other diagonal angle, and I was just hurtling towards the next car crash. And again, so the only calm in my life was a white knuckle ride on a series of bad decisions that was just waiting for that self-destruct button to be pressed. And the endless, and then that road, when you look behind you, was the same picture, but you imagine what that road would have looked like, me driving diagonally the whole way up it. It was just a trail of devastation. And it was a trail of devastation in my wake through my countless bad decisions. So at that moment, I opened my hands and I said, Lord, my life's a mess. I need you in my life. Within an instant doesn't cover all this. Within an instant, you know, I felt a tidal wave hitting my chest, you know, or a whirlwind of emotions just stirred up through my body. You know, that man that only knew pain, that man that only knew self-torture, that man that only knew self-destruction, died. And that moment that Jesus entered my life, you know, I was filled up and fired up with the love of Jesus Christ and the will, the want, the fuel, the fire, and the passion that it has to be shared with absolutely everybody. Like off the back of that, you know, the change that is in my life, you know, I always said I was a good person. I'm sure you have heard it. You know, I don't need the Lord. I'm a good person. But me as a good person, what was my recipe for being a good person? It was drinking every day. It was taking steroids every day. It was taking cocaine at the weekend. It was drinking a bottle of rum at the weekend. It was me having, I had to go to the gym to get my fix of pain before anybody even spoke to me. That was my recipe for a good person. That was my recipe for a role model to my children. Do you know what made me the good person? That I was nice to, that I spoke to people, that I said good morning to people. So I looked at one thing that makes me a good person. And walking with the Lord, and he revealed my cocktail for a recipe for disaster. And he revealed that to me, going, you don't need any of this. You need me. That's what he said. He said, you need me. So now I'm driving this car on this broad road, and I have somebody hitting the brakes. I have that initial, like, quick, like, you've been there. You've done that. Stay on the path. Follow me. That's it. That's what it is.
Mike wanted to mention last year or maybe the year before, he and I had a bit of a chat on the podcast that I record, which is called Bite-Sized Chunks of Faith. He shares a little bit more of his story in that conversation. If you Google Bite-Sized Chunks of Faith, it's episode 181. And he just wanted to mention that there's a lot more in his story, but he just has sort of condensed it for us this morning. And just as want to say thank you to Mike for the way he shared his story so openly and honestly with us, and it's a powerful story of just how Alpha, of how God changed his life. And thank you for coming to be with us this morning. So let's just take a moment now to pray as we just turn our hearts again to God, and I'm going to invite Stephen to lead us in prayer.
Loving Father, you have called us as your church in this place to share the gospel with those around us. And as we enter into a new season in the church's year, you challenge us today to be a window through which others may see Jesus. Help us to fulfill that calling as we care for one another and try to embody the good news of your love. So help us, Father, we pray, never to speak an angry, impatient, or discourteous word, and never to make people feel they are a nuisance or a bother to us. Help us never to treat people in such a way that it embarrasses them or makes them feel small or humiliates them. Rather, Lord, we pray that you would help us always to be kind and courteous to everyone we meet. Help us always to make people feel that they are welcome and that we care about them. Help us to think of the feelings of others as much as we would wish them to think of ours. Help us to walk always looking unto Jesus and to make him the pattern of our lives, that all we say and everything we do would reflect only your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And as we try to live lives which speak to others of your love and grace, Heavenly Father, so we pray that you would help us to know ourselves better. Help us to know our own ignorance, that we may always be open to learning new things. Help us to know our own weakness, that we may be on our guard against the temptations which so easily overcome us and damage us. Help us to know our own strengths, so that we might use to the full all the gifts and talents you have given us. Heal us, from all the things that might restrict your renewing power from working within us and among us. And grant that our hearts would be open to the presence of your Holy Spirit and our wills more fully surrendered to your purposes. May our characters become stronger and more resilient each day. May our minds be inspired to want to learn more about you. May our souls be nourished to grow deeper into your love. May our hearts be empowered for worship and witness. Remake, remold, reshape us, Lord, we pray. And in your love, redeem us, reclaim and refashion us. So help us to live as your people, following you faithfully as our Lord and King. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, as we leave this place and go forward into the coming week, trying to follow you faithfully as our Lord and King, your love and grace go with us and before us, surround us and uphold us in whatever we have to face. Remind us, loving Father, that even in the midst of trouble, in our hurts and rejections and frustrations, you are still with us. Remind us that you are with us in all the changing circumstances of our lives, and that whatever we may have to face in this coming week, we do not need to face it alone. When we have to walk in darkness, you are our one true light. When we are lonely, you are our faithful companion. When we are restless, you grant us your peace. When we are bitter, you fill us with your patience. So this morning we want to offer you our thanks and praise for your generous love and gracious provision in every part of our lives. In gratitude now, we bring to you the gift of our own love and devotion. May we show that love and devotion not only through what we say here in this place, but through what we say and what we do in every part of our lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray also for those who go forward into this coming week, dreading what it may hold for them and feeling far removed from your love and grace. For all who are in trouble or distress this day, we pray that they would see Jesus, so that the hope and joy and power of his love would break into every frightening and painful situation, bringing help and healing, comfort and courage. May the message of his life and unfailing love bring hope out of despair, joy out of sorrow, faith out of doubt, and light out of darkness to all who are in pain or trouble. May all who know sorrow and grief, and all who face this new season with uncertainty or anxiety, be reminded that Christ has promised to be with us always, and that he knows our pain. He has experienced life's sorrows and is acquainted with its grief, and that whatever happens, we are always held safe in his hands. So may they and we know Christ's assurance that life is not in vain, even when it is painful and disappointing, that love is not blotted out even by death, that faith is not futile even in the face of the world's injustice and cruelty. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
And finally, we sum up all our prayers in the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
So So we're going to respond to all that we have heard, to all that we have prayed, as we sing together the song of our offering. My God is all I need.
Song, for he has rescued me. praise, praise to my Father be. My God is all I need.
Let's take our seats as we think about the world into which we're going out, and as we think about the week that lies ahead of us, and conscious of all those things which are maybe daunting or challenging to us, let's remember as we go out into the world that we don't go out on our own, and that God is with us. We're going to pray our prayer together as we go out into the world. We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight, for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. We're going to join together to sing our closing hymn, which is a hymn all about walking with God throughout our lives, just a closer walk with Thee. Right. Just a reminder before we go out, just to leave our chairs, which will be needed for toddlers. Some of the chairs will need to go away. And also to remind people, if you brought a tin with you yesterday, to please take that with you as you go home. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.